This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وأفضل الصلاة وأتم التسليم على سيدنا وإمامنا وحبيبنا أبي القاسم محمد بن عبد الله وعلى آله وصحبه والتابعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. I praise Allah Almighty and I send prayers and blessings upon Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his noble family, righteous companions and all those that follow them with right guidance until the day of judgment. Ameen. Glory be to you, O Allah, no knowledge have we except that which you have taught us. Indeed, you are the all-knowing, the all-wise. My dear brothers and sisters, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I hope everybody is doing well. We continue with the tafsir of Surah Al-Baqarah, and we got to the following ayah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وَلِلَّهِ الْمَشْرِقُ وَالْمَغْرِبُ وَلِلَّهِ الْمَشْرِقُ وَالْمَغْرِبُ فَأَيْنَمَا تُوَلُّوا فَثَمَّ وَجْهُ اللَّهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ وَاسِعٌ عَلِيمٌ. This ayah comes after the ayah where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us that the worst of people and the most unjust are those who prevent the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from being mentioned in His masajid, and they seek to destroy it. And we spoke about that ayah in detail. And now the next ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that to Allah belong the east and the west. وَلِلَّهِ الْمَشْرِقُ وَالْمَغْرِبُ فَأَيْنَمَا تُوَلُّوا فَثَمَّ وَجْهُ اللَّهِ. So wherever you turn, there is the face of Allah. This ayah is clearly related to the issue of the Qibla. And some Mufassirin might say even the ayah before, that they are related to the issue of the Qibla. At a time when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was chastising those criminals for destroying the masajid of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even if there are no masajid left, the Muslim can worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala anywhere. Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us in the authentic hadith that the whole earth is a masjid. Destroy all the masajid you want. The whole earth is a masjid and you can worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But then we go one step further to say, not only that, technically, turn wherever you will. Even if hypothetically, the enemies of Allah are not allowing you to face the Qibla, pray to Allah. Wherever you turn, there is the face of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we'll see what that means. وَلِلَّهِ الْمَشْرِقُ وَالْمَغْرِبُ فَأَيْنَمَا تُوَلُّوا فَثَمَّ وَجْهُ اللَّهِ. There's an authentic reason of revelation for this ayah. On the authority of Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, he tells us that the first thing that was abrogated of the Quran was the issue of the Qibla. And that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had migrated to Medina and he was ordered to face Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa. When he was in Mecca, just a quick explanation, when he was in Mecca, he would face Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa, but because the Qibla is north, so he can place the Kaaba between him and the Masjid Al-Aqsa, and he loved to do so. Once he was in Medina, he can no longer do that. So he has to face Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa, which is north, as opposed to south, right? So Ibn Abbas is telling us, when the Prophet ﷺ was in Medina, most of the inhabitants of Medina, or a good portion of them, were the Jews. So when the Prophet ﷺ prayed to Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa, this was something that they were
happy about. He faced Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa as Allah commanded him for some 16 to 17 months. Ibn Abbas doesn't mention exactly how many, but he says bid'at ashara shahran, so over 10 months, okay? And other narrations mention some 16 or 17 months. He was praying to Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa in Medina. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after seeing that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam loved to pray to Al-Kaaba, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to look to the heavens, and Allah knows that he would love to have the Kaaba, the Qibla of Ibrahim, as his Qibla, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the verses, which we will get to inshaAllah, that abrogated the Qibla, and instead of praying to Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa, he would pray to Al-Masjid Al-Haram. Upon that, the Jews started making trouble. So they started saying, what made them turn away from the Qibla that they had before? فَأَوَلَّاهُمْ عَنْ قِبْلَتِهِمُ الَّتِي كَانُوا عَلَيْهَا. Allah revealed the verses about that. قَدْ نَرَى تَقَلُّبَ وَجِكَ فِي السَّمَاءِ, that we see how you are looking up to the heavens, and that we are going to grant you this Qibla that you would love to have. And then later on, in reply to the Jews, قُلْ لِلَّهِ الْمَشْرِقُ وَالْمَغْرِبُ, say to them, to Allah belongs the East and the West. In other words, it's none of your business which Qibla we turn to, which Qibla we used to face, and what Qibla we're facing now. وَقَالَ, Ibn Abbas says, وَقَالَ وَلِلَّهِ الْمَشْرِقُ وَالْمَغْرِبُ فَأَيْنَمَا تُوَلُّوا فَثَمَّ وَجْهُ اللَّهِ. So he mentioned the ayah that we're talking about now as well. Those ayahs come a little bit later, as we'll see. But he mentioned this ayah as well. وَلِلَّهِ الْمَشْرِقُ وَالْمَغْرِبُ, as a response to the Jews. To Allah belongs the East and the West. Wherever you turn to, there is the face of Allah, or the countenance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Furthermore, Ibn Umar radiyallahu anhuma used to pray on his rahila, on his animal. Wherever it faced, he used to pray. And it seems, wallahu a'lam, this was a nafila. This was the sunnah, it wasn't the farida that he would do. And he said, this is what I saw the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam do. Pray the nafila on his animal, wherever it went, in whatever direction it was. And that this was his interpretation of this ayah. وَلِلَّهِ الْمَشْرِقُ وَالْمَغْرِبُ فَأَيْنَمَا تُوَلُّوا فَثَمَّ وَجْهُ اللَّهِ. Another narration mentions this story of Ibn Umar, but it says that for that reason the ayah was revealed. But that's, so in other words, that was sabab nuzul. But that narration, wallahu alam, is weak. So we will say it's an interpretation. It's an interpretation of this ayah. This means, and this is part of the fiqh that we benefit from the ayah, that when you pray the nafila, if it is not the fariḍah, and you are in some mode of transport, and obviously we have more advanced modes of transport now, unless you know, some people may still ride the older forms of transport. If you are traveling, you can pray the nafila wherever direction, you don't have to face the qibla. This is what we benefit from this narration and from this ayah. Because the ayah is clearly showing to us that the issue is quite flexible. The issue of the qibla is quite flexible, albeit and even though it is one of the conditions for the correctness of salah, right? That we have to face the qibla. In the case of nafila, no issues. In the car, on the plane, on an animal, on the train, it could be in any direction. In the case of fariḍah, It is best, of course, to face the Qibla if possible. If you cannot, for whatever reason, and I think a lot of us have experienced how difficult it could be sometimes on a plane, pray it. Don't miss the salah. Pray it, even if it's sitting down and it's not in the direction of the Qibla. فَأَيْنَمَا تُوَلُّوا فَثَمَّ وَجْهُ اللَّهِ You tried, you could not for whatever reason, then there wouldn't be any other option. But for the fariḍah, we try. Right? For the nafila, it's okay. Alright? فَأَيْنَمَا تُوَلُّوا فَثَمَّ وَجْهُ اللَّهِ It is also said in a narration that is weak that the Prophet ﷺ and the companions prayed on a cloudy night and they were not able to ascertain the Qibla exactly. And when they woke up in the morning, they realized they prayed not in the direction of the Qibla. And the Prophet ﷺ did not say anything to them and no one repeated their salah. And it was based on this ayah as well. وَلِلَّهِ الْمَشْرِقُ وَالْمَغْرِبُ فَأَيْنَمَا تُوَلُّوا فَثَمَّ وَجْهُ اللَّهِ And this is why many scholars said, if a person does their best to try to ascertain the Qibla, and they pray, and they realize later on, when the time for that salah is over, that they were not facing the Qibla correctly, they don't have to repeat their salah, according to many scholars, and based on this ayah as well. فَأَيْنَمَا تُوَلُّوا فَثَمَّ وَجْهُ اللَّهِ Yes, brother, question?
Sometimes some people are too calculated about that.
Coming to that. Thank you. I'm coming to that. So, in that situation, you wouldn't have to repeat your salah. Because you tried your best to face the Qibla. And based on this ayah. And yes, the ayah is showing us that the issue of the Qibla is flexible. And the Prophet ﷺ said in the authentic hadith, he said, what is between the east and the west is a Qibla. What does that mean? It means your Qibla is somewhere between east and west. Of course, he's talking about Medina, right? So in Medina, the Qibla is practically south, right? Yes, brothers and sisters, south. So what is in between east and west, right? Technically, it would be the other way. West and east, right? If I'm facing south. So the Prophet ﷺ is saying, anything between these two is a Qibla. This is a Qibla. And this is why many scholars said that actually when you are away from the Kaaba, you are not trying to face the Kaaba itself. You are just trying to direct yourself in the general direction of the Qibla. So there is no issue, brother, of the degrees. And subhanallah, يعني, they might destroy the masjid and rebuild it because it's 10 degrees off or 5 degrees off or something like this. فَأَيْنَمَا تُوَلُّوا فَثَمَّ وَجْهُ اللَّهِ مَا بَيْنَ الْمَشْرِقِ وَالْمَغْرِبِ قِبْلًا Are you going to measure it with a straight line on Google Earth and see that, oh, we're not actually facing the Kaaba? This is not the case. It is actually a lot more flexible in that way. Based on this ayah and based on this hadith and the scholars of Islam base their opinions on this. فَأَيْنَمَا تُوَلُّوا فَثَمَّ وَجْهُ اللَّهِ Not that you're not facing the Qibla, but it might not be exact. That's not an issue. Because wherever you face, you are facing Allah. There is the face of Allah. فَأَيْنَمَا تُوَلُّوا فَثَمَّ وَجْهُ اللَّهِ Qatada had a different opinion. He said, it is not the abrogation of the Qibla, but rather, this is before the abrogation of the Qibla. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was telling the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Sahaba that the issue is quite flexible. Wherever you turn, there is the face of Allah. Almost as if, It is a preparation for the abrogation of the Qibla. That it's not going to be any issue. Whether you face south or north, don't worry. Wherever you face, there is the face of Allah. Teaching the Muslims that in the end, the Qibla is more of an organizational concept for all the Muslims to direct themselves together in Jama'ah prayer, in a certain direction. But if you don't have it exactly, that is no issue. And you definitely don't have to repeat your salah, and you definitely don't have to destroy that masjid or musalla and rebuild it because it is a few degrees off here or there. Wallahu a'lam. Now, imagine, and this highlights the importance of the tafsir of the Sahaba and the Tabi'een. Imagine now someone comes to you and wants to do his own tafsir based on his own ideas and deliberation, where he closes or she closes her eyes and they tell you, no, I think Allah means something else. فَأَيْنَمَا تُوَلُّوا فَثَمَّ وَجْهُ اللَّهِ. Wherever you turn, there is the face of Allah. Jewish, Christian, Buddhist, all paths lead to Rome. All paths lead to Allah. Wherever you turn your face, there is the face of Allah. It doesn't matter. By Allah, can you not see people? Or have you heard someone doing tafsir of this ayah in this way? فَأَيْنَمَا تُوَلُّوا فَثَمَّ وَجْهُ اللَّهِ. Muslim, Christian, Buddhist, Jew, it doesn't matter. There are so many roads to Allah. They tell you, so now if you want to go to anywhere, any destination, there will be many ways to take. GPS will give you many ways. Exactly, paradise is the same. There are many ways. فَأَيْنَمَا تُوَلُّوا فَثَمَّ وَجْهُ اللَّهِ. Wherever you turn, there is the face of Allah. Can you imagine Muslims hearing this and having their blood boil, thinking, what kind of a tafsir is this? Where did you get this from? And of course, it doesn't make sense. But yes, you can see someone trying to say something like that. Wherever you turn, and however, it doesn't matter. No, this is not the way we do tafsir. And this is why we go back to the tafsir of those who are most knowledgeable about the tafsir. The Sahaba and the Tabi'een, radiyallahu anil jami'ah. And asbab al-nuzul, the reasons of revelation, and you start to understand. You cannot just come here and come up with some rubbish and claim that this is your tafsir or this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala almost inspired to you. Are you a prophet after the seal of the prophets, alayhi salatu wa salam? فَأَيْنَمَا تُوَلُّوا فَثَمَّ وَجْهُ اللَّهِ. In this ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the face of Allah. فَأَيْنَمَا تُوَلُّوا فَثَمَّ وَجْهُ اللَّهِ. This could be confusing for some. First of all, let us understand the meaning of the ayah and what we get from it, apart from what we have already mentioned. فَأَيْنَمَا تُوَلُّوا فَثَمَّ وَجْهُ اللَّهِ. Meaning, whatever direction you face, you are going to face Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not in a particular direction. He's not in the qibla per se, such that if I don't face the qibla, then I'm not facing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Quran mentions the face of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala many times. But all of the mention of the face of Allah in the Quran is in a slightly different context. Is in the context of doing things sincerely for the sake of Allah. For the face or the countenance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Countenance is just a fancy word for face. Okay? It's usually revolving around that meaning. Doing things for Allah's face. Sincerely for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the only one that comes in a slightly different context and could be problematic because it says, there is the face of Allah. فَثَمَّ not ثُمَّ. Some people might confuse ثَمَّ with ثُمَّ. ثَمَّ, there is the face of Allah. Notice, not Allah, the face of Allah. But if you look at the Sunnah gives you many examples that are similar to this. So the Prophet ﷺ told us in the authentic hadith that when you pray, that you are facing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Prophet ﷺ said that if a Muslim prays, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is between them and the Qibla. And of course, scholars try to explain this hadith. The Prophet ﷺ said that Allah is facing you when you pray. He said, قِبَلَ وَجْهِ. The Prophet ﷺ told Ibn Abbas رضي الله عنهما, احفظ الله يحفظك, احفظ الله تجده تجاهك. And in another narration, أمامك. Preserve the limits of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah will preserve you. Preserve Allah, and you will find Him in front of you. It's the same idea. In another hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will face you. He mentions His face. He will face you. He will face your face. As long as you do not turn in your salah, you do not turn your head. So the sunnah is showing us the meaning that when we face the qibla, it's almost like we are facing Allah. And that's why in the dua of al-istiftah, and we can understand it that way as well, beautifully, we say what? وَجَّهْتُ وَجْهِيَ لِلَّذِي فَطَرَ السَّمَوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ حَنِيفًا. I have directed my face to the one who has created the heavens and the earth. So again, you are facing Allah. You're directing yourselves, you're directing yourself to Allah, and more specifically to Allah's face. You are facing Allah. This is the meaning of فَثَمَّ وَجْهُ اللَّهِ. Wherever you turn, for the sake of prayer, you will face Allah. فَثَمَّ وَجْهُ اللَّهِ. Clear now? This is the basic meaning. This is what we get from the ayah. But then we say, yes, some scholars understood this ayah as one of the ayahs that talks about the face of Allah is one of His attributes. فَثَمَّ وَجْهُ اللَّهِ, just like the others. Some scholars said that this ayah is not one of the ayat that is talking about the face as one of His sifat or one of His attributes. And we showed that it is different than the other ayat. Why? Because it's talking about the Qibla. And hence Imam Mujahid said, فَثَمَّ وَجْهُ اللَّهِ means there is the Qibla of Allah. So he interpreted it. It's a ta'wil, right? And of course, the scholars of Islam who interpreted some of the attributes of Allah, the sifat of Allah, they interpreted the face of Allah as Allah Himself. That you are facing Allah. And this difference of opinion is quite well known between the scholars of Islam who took the position that these attributes of Allah, whether it is the face of Allah or the hands of Allah or His nafs or so many other things, that all of these attributes, they said, we confirm that Allah has these attributes but we do not in any way make him like any of his creatures. There is no anthropomorphism in Islam. We do not make Allah like another human being. Ta'ala Allah. But they confirm these attributes to Allah, and they are attributes that are befitting of His Majesty. The scholars of Islam who did ta'wil, they would interpret some of these sifat, as we just saw with the face. They would interpret, for instance, the hand or the hands as His ability or His blessings. And this is a very well known controversy that started very long time ago, and it seems will continue, wallahu a'lam, until the day of judgment. فَثَمَّ وَجْهُ اللَّهِ. But then that is the meaning. Don't get bogged down in the controversy, and is it the face of Allah, or is it the Qibla of Allah, or is it Allah Himself? When you read it, most Muslims, when you read it, you immediately get the understanding, especially if you do not engage in any anthropomorphism, ta'ala Allah, you immediately think, فَثَمَّ وَجْهُ اللَّهِ. There is the face of Allah. In other words, you are facing Allah. Wherever you turn, you are facing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَاللَّهُ تَعَالَى أَعْلَمُ. فَثَمَّ وَجْهُ اللَّهِ. إِنَّ اللَّهَ وَاسِعٌ عَلِيمٌ. Indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is wasi'. Wasi', He is all-encompassing. And the ulama and the mufassirun mentioned about the name of Allah al-wasi', that He is all-encompassing in His mercy and His knowledge and His rizq and His provision, His blessings. Right? إِنَّ اللَّهَ وَاسِعٌ عَلِيمٌ. And usually we'll find these two names together, Wasi' and Alim. Alim being the all-knowledgeable. So wherever you turn, there is the face of Allah. He is all-encompassing and He is all-knowledgeable. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَقَالُوا اتَّخَذَ اللَّهُ وَلَدًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala now is singling out those people for this crime. This is a crime that is being committed against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We do not understand how egregious it is. So Allah azza wa jalla is telling us, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us in the authentic hadith, how evil it is to ascribe a child to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The problem is we've gotten used to it. We've become numb. وَقَالُوا اتَّخَذَ اللَّهُ وَلَدًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here doesn't comment on the egregiousness. He does so in other ayat. But He responds. But it's not a direct response. No need to respond directly. It's a ludicrous claim to say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taken a child. So that's why He says, بَلْ لَهُ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. Rather, to Him belongs what is in the heavens and the earth. So everything belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If everything is ownership of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, why on earth does He need a child? And why on earth would He take a child if everything belongs to Him? Who is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talking about? Everyone who ascribed the child to Allah. Everyone mentioned in the verses before this verse. We read about the Yahud. We read about the Nasara. And possibly al-Mushrikeen and the pagans, the pagan Arabs. So, the Christians, of course, the most famous one who claimed that Jesus, peace be upon Him, was the Son of Allah. The Jews claim that Uzair Ezra is the son of Allah. The pagan Arabs claimed that the angels were the daughters of Allah. تعالى الله عما يقولون علوا كبيرا. وقالوا اتخذ الله ولدا. Subhanah, glory be to him. بَلْ لَهُ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. Everything in the heavens and the earth belongs to him. And therefore, why on earth would he take a son? Isa alayhi salam is ownership of Allah, made by Allah. Everything is made by Allah. Uzair is made by Allah. The angels are made by Allah. They all belong to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He owns them. Why do you take a child? And usually, if you have a child, it means you have a partner. Who is Allah's partner? Ta'ala Allah. This is crazy stuff you hear. But we're used to it. That God has taken a son or God has taken a child. Ta'ala Allah. And that's why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "La ahad asbar ala adam yasma'hu min Allah." There is no one more patient than Allah in hearing something so evil because they ascribe a child to him. Bal lahu ma fis samawati wal ard. So this is the first part of the answer. And notice, he doesn't need to say, "I don't need a child." This is enough. Just know that everything is the ownership of Allah. Then the second part, كُلُّ لَّهُ قَانِتُونَ. They are all obedient to him. Everything, the heavens and the earth, is obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yes? Everything, the heavens and the earth, everyone obeys Allah. Everything obeys Allah. Is there someone that disobeys Allah? Yes? So not everyone obeys Allah. Yes, brother. كُلُّ لَهُ قَانِتُونَ. They are all obedient to him. طَوْعًا أَوْ كَرْهًا. Willfully, voluntarily, or involuntarily, everyone obeys Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Those who obey him willfully are those who submitted. The Muslims and everyone who submitted before them. Those who obey involuntarily is everyone else. Of course, the objects, we all know, obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and they have no other recourse. The angels, they can only obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As-samawat wal-ard, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded them, again, they said to him, Atayna ta'i'een. We come to you obediently, O Allah, the heavens and the earth. Tayyib, the disbelievers, those who willfully disobey, they are also obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but in another way. One possibility, as Imam Mujahid says, is that he said their shadows prostrate to Allah. And this is based on the Quran, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us that to Allah prostrates everything that is in the heavens and the earth, and their shadows, وَظِلَالُهُمْ بِالْغُدُوِ وَالْأَصَالِ. So this is one possibility. The other possibility is that even if you disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you cannot run away or flee from his qadr. His qadr, what Allah has decreed for you, is going to happen. You cannot flee it. And that's why Allah challenges them. And one of the greatest aspects of Allah's decrees is death. If you can flee that, show me. I'm sure there are people who are trying to see if it's possible that human beings can become immortal. Immortality is the goal of some. Okay, well, that's good. I'm glad that someone is trying. Allah challenged them. Let's see what you can do. Can you run away from the decree of Allah? You cannot. Everyone is obedient to him, whether they like it or not. Voluntarily or involuntarily. كُلُّ لَهُ قَانِتُونَ. So this is answer number two. Why would he have a child when everything is obedient to him? Then he says, بَدِيعُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. بَدِيعُ, what does بَدِيعُ mean? ابْتَدَعَ. ابْتَدَعَ gives you the meaning of what? To innovate, which means what? To bring about something new, right? In the case of بَدِيعُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ, yes, it means Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created them from absolutely nothing. To bring something about from absolutely nothing. This is the meaning of بَدِيعُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. So He created the heavens and the earth. There was nothing before. بَدِيعُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. Why would you ascribe a child to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And how dare you ascribe a child to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? بَدِيعُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. Everything is for Him. Everything belongs to Him. بَدِيعُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. وَإِذَا قَضَى أَمْرًا فَإِنَّمَا يَقُولُ لَهُ كُنْ فَيَكُونَ. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala were to decree a matter, all He has to do is what? Is say kun, and it will be. Be and it is. That's all. And we might say, He doesn't even have to say kun. And scholars differed. In this case, would He say kun or not? The point is, that's all. He doesn't need to do any of what we do now. So the slightest thing that we want to make will take a long time, will take a lot of effort, will take consultation, will take group efforts for something, you know, quite simple when you compare it to something like the heavens and the earth. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, be and it is. وَإِذَا قَضَى أَمْرًا فَإِنَّمَا يَقُولُ لَهُ كُنْ فَيَكُونَ. Be and it is. That's it, nothing else. It doesn't take time. He doesn't need helpers. He doesn't need a child therefore. Or have a child. فَإِنَّمَا يَقُولُ لَهُ كُنْ فَيَكُونَ. And Al-Imam al-Tabari is of the opinion that He does say kun. فَإِنَّمَا يَقُولُ لَهُ كُنْ فَيَكُونَ. Because it keeps coming up that way. Otherwise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could have described it in any other way without actually saying that Allah would say be and it is. And in the other ayah, which is quite clear, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّمَا قَوْلُنَا لِشَيْءٍ. Right? إِذَا أَرَدْنَاهُ أَن نَقُولَ لَهُ كُنْ فَيَكُونَ. That our saying to something, notice the confirmation that something is being said. إِنَّمَا قَوْلُنَا لِشَيْءٍ. That our saying to anything, if we will it, is to say be and it is. My brothers and sisters, we believe in the magnificence of Allah, in His all-encompassing nature, in His competence for everything and His ability to do anything. And all He has to do is say kun fayakun. So when you are experiencing that difficulty and you think to yourself, there's nothing in this dunya that can fix this, and you might be right, the only one who can fix it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you have put all your effort to solve that problem, but then you just turn to your Lord. That belief, just that belief, but a true, a piercing belief that Allah can change this in an instant. Allah can change my condition just like this. Be and it is. That belief is what may indeed bring about that consequence that you seek. And Allah will grant it to you. Of course, I am not saying don't do dua for it. But we're talking about the importance of that belief, that indeed Allah will make it happen, and it is so easy. It's not difficult. It's just be and it is. Just like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can decree death upon us in an instant, can decree some tribulation upon us in an instant, be and it is. For Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that's the way it is. فَإِنَّمَا يَقُولُ لَهُ كُنْ فَيَكُونَ هَذَا وَاللَّهُ أَعْلَمُ وَصَلَّى اللَّهُ وَسَلَّمُ وَبَارَكَ عَلَى نَبِيِّنَا مُحَمَّدٍ. Any questions? Should I ask a question? Some scholars did say, he doesn't say kun, he doesn't have to say kun. It's just an expression to show that Allah just wills it and it happens. Allahu A'lam. Allahu A'lam.
In the current situation, we discussing Allah in some of the masjid or some of the pertaining to, like, it has been like, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has a better knowledge of what's going on today. But there are some people who question that, why is this not coming? Perhaps not coming.
Yes, absolutely. Of course, this is not now, right? The issue of Palestine is now 75 years. Okay, it's closer to a century than to, let's say, half a century or less. And they've been saying that for a very long time. People who have been experiencing difficulty in many different places in the world may have been saying that. We in Syria said it. We've been saying it for the last 12 years or so. Where is the Nasr? Where is the victory of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? The victory of Allah is there. The help of Allah is there. But how do we attain it? First of all, have we done everything to deserve His victory, His support, and His aid? Maybe the people over there, yes, to a large extent, right? The ummah as a whole, probably not, right? Allah Azza wa Jalla said in the Noble Quran, وَكَانَ حَقًّا عَلَيْنَا نَصْرُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. It is a right upon us. Allah obligated it upon Himself to grant victory to the believers. But we keep asking, where are the true believers? And indeed, we realized with time that, yeah, maybe we are not ready. Because Allah is making us ready. Because all of these very unfortunate incidents and all of the Muslim grievances are things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses to purify the Muslim ummah. To filter out a lot of the weeds, if you will, the contamination that exists. There are a lot of issues that we are dealing with. The only way to be purified is through things like this. So, it is a purification. Of course, everything is a test. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala purifies us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala raises the status of many. Many went to Allah as shuhada, inshaAllah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept them. Allah has raised the status of many who were tested by these incidents. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has also exposed a lot. So many people and associations and institutions and leaders and countries Allah has exposed these things, exposed those people. The problem would be if we go back and we forget, and we say we have a short memory. Then I remind you of the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ. A Muslim, a true believer, is not stung from the same den twice. Learn your lesson. Allah showed you who's your friend and who's your enemy. Who is for justice and who is for genocide? Allah exposes. Allah exposes the hypocrites among the Muslims. Allah exposed the Zionist Arabs. We never thought we would put those two words together. We have been saying Christian Zionists. If you go a little bit further and deeper, you might say Protestant Zionists. And now you have Catholic Zionists. And now you have Arab Zionists. لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله. Allah exposes. But above all, brother, keep something in mind. And this is a very important lesson. The timing is not up to us. The timing is up to Allah. So maybe, Allahu A'lam, according to what we are doing, actually we deserve the victory now. Maybe. But Allah, out of His wisdom, delays it. In the case of, I can tell you, in the case of what happened in Syria, can you imagine if the revolution was victorious in year 2 or 3? Do you know how many criminals would still be walking around free? When the crisis was extended, the time was extended, as difficult as it is, as difficult as it is, wallah. But when that happened, how many more of the criminals were killed? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala destroyed because it kept on going. And we saw what happened in many of the Arab Spring uprisings as well. The criminals left from the door and they came back from the window through counter-revolutions. So it might be Allah's wisdom that actually this is not the time. We need to be patient and remind ourselves. So maybe Allah has responded. I cannot imagine what is happening to the beleaguered people in Gaza or in Syria or in Burma or anywhere else. All of the dua of these, let's call them true believers. You might say Allah has responded to their dua, has granted them, but it's not time yet. The timing is with Allah. Yes, brother.
Now it has been confirmed that 70% of the Russian pilots that took part in bombing Syria have been killed in Ukraine.
There you go. So again, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala may extend it in order to destroy the criminals. Do you think, subhanallah, and this is the way I think about it, especially when we start to think like this. Of course, you and I, you know, why are we saying where is the victory of Allah? They're the ones who are saying the victory of Allah. The one who has lost his parents or his children or his family and relatives. You and I are sitting pretty, we're just watching. They're the ones who are saying, oh Allah, where is your victory? Right? Think about it this way, brother. Do you think Allah is somehow unjust? Or Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not want to grant them victory? Or maybe this is not very bad. It's okay. Tens of thousands of people killed, tens of thousands of people injured, altogether maybe around 100,000. Is it so bad? Yes, it's very bad. Think about the fact that on the Day of Judgment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take the right of an animal from another animal. Can you believe it? Are animals held accountable? Brother, are animals held accountable on the Day of Judgment? No. So they will not go to paradise or hellfire. So they're not accountable. Why on earth is Allah taking the right of one animal from another? Because He is Al-Haqq. And because He is justice, and He is the infinite justice. So He will take the right of the animal without horns from the one that has horns. You wronged that animal, and then they will be made to dust. The one who does this, you don't think will destroy the likes of the Zionists or Bashar and all of his helpers and all of the crimes that they have done. It's a matter of time. Timing is not up to us, the timing is with Allah. We just have to trust in His plan. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik, nashhadu an la ilaha illa ant, nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk.